tonight. Let's stand if we would. Amen. Continue to pray for Sister Erica. She has developed an infection, and she just really needs the Lord to touch her tonight. So if you would, just still her lungs are doing well and doing better, but she's got this infection now, and so she needs the Lord to help her with that. Remember John Winberry, prayer, he's in the hospital, a routine visit for him, and hopefully get out on Monday. James Winberry, very serious condition for James with his arm and his shoulder, and he really needs God to intervene for him, and he really needs a miracle. It's going to take a miracle for James. So if you would, just remember him in prayer. I mean, how's Sister Campbell doing? Okay. All right. Let's remember Brother Campbell, Sister Campbell, both of them. Remember Creddy. Okay. Remember Jesse. Yes. Sister Lynn. Okay. Brother Jim. All right. Sister Dawn. Okay. Let's remember that. All right. Amen. Let's come to the altar tonight and let's pray and ask the Lord to help us this weekend. Thank you.
Thank you. God's unchanging hand.
Praise God.
Transmission, not a and home to God's unchanging hand. Oh, trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, and if my earthly friends forsake, hold still, more closely to Him cling. Hallelujah! Oh, hold to God's unchanging hand. Never changing hand have filled your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a friend that will stick closer than a brother, right? Amen. He'll never leave us, never forsake us, always there for us. Amen. Thank God for the loyalty that we have. Amen. And our Heavenly Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glad you're with us tonight. And don't forget tomorrow morning, Sunday school, 9:45. Amen. I say that every Saturday night, don't I? And usually, the people that's here on Saturday night, it's not the ones that forget about it on Sunday morning. You know? So I kind of was thinking the other day, David, that's kind of futile to tell them not to forget to be there. If they don't forget Saturday night, they're probably not going to forget Sunday morning. Amen. So I appreciate you coming out tonight, being in service. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody stand and give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Yes, hallelujah. 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 Yes, hallelujah. Right. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody else? Praise God. Sister Trisha. Right. Hallelujah. Thank you.
right.
Amen.
Praise God.
Come on. That's right. Get on the
Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Serve a faithful God. Amen. Sometimes we can't tell it all, but man, God's done so much for us, right? Hallelujah. Anybody else tonight? Danny, testify. After Brother Gardner. Go ahead, Brother Gardner. Go ahead, Danny. Let's fight over it. Okay. That's right.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's right. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's so true. Amen. Good testimony.
Norma Miller gave me a tape of a song. We're not going to sing it tonight, but we are going to sing it, Sister Trisha. It's one of the most wonderful songs I've heard in a long time. And I don't hardly have any voice at all. But the words are just beautiful. And the end of the chorus says, when God says no, you're still blessed. There must be a greater yes. And I don't know if you all have ever heard that song, and we're going to learn it. And when we sing it, I'm going to tape it and send it to her. But it's just a wonderful song. And you know, that is so true in our lives. God is so faithful and He is so good. And so many times our minds made up what we want and how we want. And we think, I remember when we were buying our first church building, there was a certain building we had to have, that building. We thought that was the building. We thought we had seen all the signs, and you know how we do. It's amazing how we find confirmation in what we want. You ever been there? If it's what you want, all of a sudden God seems to be confirming it. And a lot of times it's not really God. It's just you're looking for stuff, you know. We all do it. And I remember we just knew for sure that was the building. And when the bank said, no, this building's too much. You can't afford this building. We were just crushed. And so we had to find a little building that wasn't what we were wanting. And I look back over, and I remember how hard we cried and how disappointed we were. And I thought, God, I just knew you were in that building. And then we looked back a year later, and if we had bought that building, we would have been in the biggest mess you could imagine. We couldn't have afforded it. And we would have went under, and the church would have suffered. And the board member put their name on the line for that building. You know, God knows. And as I was listening to that song that Sister Norma gave me, I began to think of all the prayers that God slammed the door shut and He said no, but He had a greater yes. And He gave us just what we needed, not what we wanted, but what we needed. And in our lives, so many times, that's how it is. And if we would just let Him have His will instead of us, we'll live a more happy, content life. And we don't have that many songs without a book, so let's try I Stand Redeemed. That's a good, faithful.
When I think of all my faults and all my failures, and I consider all the times I've let God down, time I come before His throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He will see the nails scarred. Nothing precious I can give. Oh, the bitter mark of sin, it may never fade away, but I can come before Him.
Hallelujah. I'm set redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm set redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nails garden. I stand redeemed before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail's garden.
All my failures, I consider all the times I've let God down. On my own, yet every time I come before God's throne,
I shall redeem.
Sing it with us.
By the blood of the Lamb, I shall redeem before the great I am. When He looks at me, He sees the dead.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God.
Glory, 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 glory.
Amen. Brother Josh, stand and testify, brother.
Hallelujah.
Right, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. Right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We stand before the Lord redeemed today. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to read to you a few verses there. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, we'll begin reading in the first verse. We've got to look at there a few verses here, and then we may look elsewhere as well tonight. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 1, book of James. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Why don't we flip over to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Read one verse there to you. Verse 13. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. There's a number of things that I want to talk to you about tonight, and it may seem a little bit scattered, and it probably will be. But I just want to talk to you about temptation and trials. When you read the book of James, chapter 1, James is writing to the saints that are scattered abroad. These were the saints that were under great persecution. They had been scattered because of their persecution that they had endured. What they were facing was a great trial in their life, and they were under great adversity and great tribulation in their life. They were going through a tremendous test at this time as they were suffering persecution for the cause of Christ and because they were Christians. And so they had been scattered abroad, and James is writing these words of encouragement to them. Sometimes when we read them, we don't look at them as all that encouraging. But he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When you look at the word temptations, it's not just the fact that they are being tempted to sin, but also that word, the word there is also used for trials. And I think that probably explains us a little bit better when you read that, is the trials that these people were going through and the temptation that they were facing at this time. Every one of us know what it is to endure hardship and trials in our life. There will be times when you're going to face difficulties and temptations. And when you think about all the everyday life, there's a few things that maybe we can learn from our trials and our temptations. And there are problems that are going to be present in our everyday life. No matter, one thing that you can learn from your trials is that your trials will be inevitable. There will be trials. No matter, when we got saved, we didn't enter into some kind of a little club where there's no trials and no hardships. You didn't enter into some kind of a protection area that protected you from trials. But their trials will come. It is inevitable that trials will come our way for every one of us. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how good or bad of a Christian you may think you are, amen, there will be trials in our life. And we're going to have to face those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. It is a common thing for men to endure trials in their life. It is a common thing for men to have to go through hardships in their life. Every day, people endure hardships. Because trials is not a gauge of your Christian experience. Trials is because you are enduring a trial does not determine your level of Christianity or how good or how bad of a Christian you may be. Because every one of us will face trials. You may, and Sister Tricia mentioned it, said in her life, it seems like one thing after another has come their way. And sometimes that they do come in that way. They come in bulk. It's like you get trials at Sam's, you know, because if they come in bulk and they're one right after another and you continue on. But trials are inevitable. Trials are inevitable. And there's a few things that we can learn about that we know about trials being inevitable, that trials are just part of the human life. You will find that it's just part of living. Trials are going to come just because you are alive. Right? That's right. Trials are just being part of living this life. And if you ever get sick of trials, remember, they will not stop until life stops. They know as long as you have life, you're going to have trials. And when trials cease, so does life. You're going to, maybe that's why James says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. At least you're still alive. Right? At least you're still kicking today and you still have life in you, and that's why you have trials. When you go, you will find that trials are inevitable and they are a part of our everyday life. They are a part of our everyday life. There's also the trials which are part of the divine plan of God. I believe that God has trials that are part of the divine plan of God. I know that, you know, the saints that were scattered abroad, that is not a pleasant thing to endure, the persecution that they were enduring. And when you think about that, you can think that, you know, the trial that we go through, this is not fair that God would have this in His plan. But I believe it was the plan of God for persecution to come upon the church. I believe it was God's plan for persecution to cause the saints to be scattered across all of the world. They were fleeing from that persecution, and by fleeing from that persecution, they carried the gospel message with them wherever they went, and they spread it all around. No matter where they went, they spread the gospel message. And that is how the gospel began to spread all over the world, was because, amen, of the divine plan of God to bring persecution to the church. Nobody, I know it's not what we want. But sometimes we realize that it is the divine plan of God, amen, to bring trials upon our life. Then there are also trials that come our way that are of a satanic plan. We read in Job's life, that Job, his plan, his trials that he faced in his life were of a satanic plan, that Satan thought that if he could come and strip Job of his health, of his riches, of his family, and all the blessings that God had given him, that he said, he'll curse you and he'll curse God. And that's what so Satan's plan was that if he put Job through enough hardship and enough trials, that Job would turn his back on God and realize that sometimes it is Satan's plan that he brings trials upon us to get us to turn away from God. I know sometimes that we with the trials that we face, sometimes there's just the trials of life. Sometimes it's just the trials of living this life. Sometimes the trials that we face are part of the divine plan of God. But also we need to realize that some of the trials that we face in our life are of a satanic plan as well. But trials are inevitable and they will come our way. There is not any of us that are going to be exempted. None of us are going to get a free pass. None of us are going to get a card out of the community chest that's going to allow us to pass by all the trials and go directly to go and collect $200. That's not the way life works. Everybody has to go through trials. Hallelujah. Not only are trials inevitable, but he tells us, and this is sometimes what we don't understand, that trials are supposed to be enjoyable. That's what he says, isn't it? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. Count it all joy. There should be some joy in the trials that we are facing in our life. Amen. These trials, they present evidence to us that God is still working in our life. That's right. That God is still working in our life. If you take a piece of clay and you put it on the wheel and you start spinning the wheel, it stays with no form. It's nothing. It becomes nothing. It's still a block. It's still a block of clay that's on a wheel that's spinning around in a circle. But when the potter takes his hands and puts them to the clay and starts forming that clay, then he's able to create something out of it. And we need to realize that it is God's plan in our life. Amen. It is evidence that God is working in our life when we go through trials. That God has not just cast us out there, but that God is working in our life. That God is doing a forming process and creating something in our life. Amen. To make us into a better child of God. He says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. It is God's way of working in our life and bringing us through the trials and making us into a better child of God. Amen. The trial is inevitable, but this trial could be enjoyable if we realize that, you know what? This is God working in my life. This is the hand of God working in my life. God is creating me into something. God is forming me, and God is working in my life. It is evidence that God has got His hand on your life when you're going through the trial. Amen. There's also something else to be realized. It is the experience that comes with the trials. Experience. You know, it's wonderful sometimes when you talk to the saints of God, amen, that have served the Lord for many years. And when you're going through the trial and they can give you so much counsel, they can expound from their wisdom and from their experiences, that they have endured so many trials, that they have endured so much, and yet God has proved Himself to be faithful to them. When we was up at the hospital to see Sister Campbell, I don't know, I didn't even mention it to Ruth, but you know, we went up there to pray with her and to kind of, you know, encourage her and minister to her. And we was there about 2 minutes doing that. And then the rest of the time she was encouraging us and ministering to us. And when I left there, I felt encouraged and ministered to, because that's you know, what it was? Because it's the experiences of her life. Amen. That God has worked in her life, and she has saw the hand of God working in her life, and she has so much to offer and to help. Amen. You know, isn't that the way it is, though? When we go through the trials, we are gaining experience, and we may not realize it now, but we may pass it on to our children or to other saints of God that later in life may find themselves in the same trial. And because we have endured, and because we found that God was faithful through that trial, we were able to be a help and a strength to them as well. Amen. Trials, amen, are evidence that God is working in our life, but it's also an experience, amen, that we gain in the midst of those trials. Amen. But when we know trials are never fun, and when you're going through trials, there's some lies that Satan likes to tell us. Satan likes to tell you that you are the only one that has ever faced this trial. That's right. Satan wants you to think you are the only one. He's a liar. Do you know that? He wants you to think that you are in it alone. He wants you to think that you are facing these trials all alone. But I want you to know that that is not the case. That is not the case. Amen. But thank God, when we read there and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, there hath no temptation taken you. There is no temptation taking you. Hear me? No, that's two letters. No temptation taking you that is common to man. Amen. For such is common to man. What does that mean? That there have been other people that have endured the same trial. Other people have gone through the same trial. You think that you are the only one that is facing the trial in your life? I'm sorry, you're not. Amen. But there is a great host of people that have endured the same trial.
I mean, come on, how many different ways can Satan come against us? And every time he has tried him on everybody, every one of us, and I want you to know you are not alone in your trial. You are not alone in your trial. And let me share this with you. You are not only not alone in your trial, but thank God you are not only, God, Jesus Christ, is there with you in that as well. Amen? Don't God know our trials that we go through? Wasn't He tempted in all points like as we are? Wasn't He tempted in all points like as we are? Does He not know what it is, amen, to face the trials of life? Does He not know what it is to be able to have to face the trials of everyday life? Yes. Does He not know what it is, amen, to face the trials of the divine plan of God? I would say He does. Wasn't it the divine plan of God for Him to go to Calvary? That's a pretty amazing trial right there. But it was in the divine plan of God. Does He not know that that satanic plan where God, Satan has brought trials into his life? I believe he did. He went up to a mountain after fasting 40 days and had a face-off with Satan on the mountain. Amen. I believe that he knows what we face in our temptations and in our trials. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. And that one of those men is Jesus Christ. He knows what you've gone through. He knows what you are facing. He knows the trial that you are enduring. Amen. And you are not in it alone. Satan may want you to think that you're by yourself, that you're all alone. If he can make you feel isolated, amen, and make you feel all alone, and make you feel like you're in it by yourself, amen, he has you by yourself, and he will destroy you. But realize, amen, that you are not alone in your trial. Amen. Yeah, I'm facing a trial of finances. Oh, really? Man, you're the only one that's ever had a shortage of finances. You're the only one in the world I've ever met that didn't have enough money to go around. Woo! Man, you're a rare one there. I'm sorry, but every one of us know what that is at times, right? When we have to trust the Lord. Amen. You're going through heartache in your life? Well, you're one of the first ones to ever have to experience heartache. I'm sorry. No, you're not. Every one of us know what heartache is. Amen. You facing sickness in your life? You must be the first one to ever face a trial of sickness. I'm afraid not. All of us know what it is to face a trial of sickness in our life. Amen. But those trials are common to man, and God will see you through every one of them. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. Amen. You are not alone in this. You are not alone. Satan wants you to think that you're by yourself and that you can't do it. Satan wants you to think that the trial is going to overwhelm you and that your trial is bigger than you are. When that verse that says, no temptation taking you is such as common to man, but God is faithful. Don't you like those few words right put in there? But God is faithful. Amen. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You feel like your trial is going to overwhelm you? You feel like your trial is going to get bigger than you are? God is faithful. He is faithful in this, that He will not let you be tempted above that which you are able. The trial is not going to get bigger than you are. The trial in your life is not going to get bigger than you are. Amen. God with God is faithful. God is faithful. You can question a lot of things in life and a lot of things in this world, but you cannot question the faithfulness of God. God has proved Himself to be faithful over and over and over again. Amen. God has proved Himself to be faithful. No matter how big the trial, God is faithful. No matter how big it may seem. Right? You know, have you ever been in a funny house? You know, I don't know, what do they call them? A magic house or something? Or walk through those and you see those mirrors? I hate those things. When you're short and stubby and you stand in front of one of those mirrors, let me tell you, they are not flattering at all. They are not flattering. They can make you look pretty pitiful.
They can, you know what that does? It puts things out of proportion. We've got one of them that's in one of those mirrors on the door of our right of our bedroom. It puts everything out of proportion. I know it's some kind of a funny mirror or something, because it shouldn't make me look like that. I think Ruth put that in there to make me feel bad or something. But they, you know, sometimes that blows something out of proportion. That's sometimes what we do to our trials. We're looking at our trial through a mirror that blows it out of proportion. And we see it so big and so way out of bounds. And we think, Lord, this is bigger than I am. But He will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able. You're still going to have control of this. And God is faithful. God is faithful. When I think of that, God is faithful because He will supply, amen, the strength. He will supply the power. He will supply the wisdom. He will supply, amen, the Spirit of God that you need and the power of God that you need in your life, amen, to face the trial that you are in right now in your life. He is faithful. Satan wants you to feel overwhelmed. He wants you to feel like there is no way out. That's right. Do you ever get into a trial and think that you are in it for the long haul? That this is never going to end. It's a never-ending trial. That it's never going to go away. But what does the Lord say in verse 13? That with the temptation, He will also make a way of escape. With the temptation. Now, I know a lot of people are looking for the exit plan. They are looking for the way to get out of the temptation. But He's not saying that you're going to get out of the trial. He's not giving you the way to get out of a trial. But He's saying with the temptation, He will make a way of escape. With the temptation, He will make a way of escape. That ye may be able to bear it. If He is going to take you out of the trial, you wouldn't have to bear it, would you? If He was going to let you get off, if He was going to take it away from you, you would not have to worry about bearing the trial. But the escape is not in the fact that you're going to get away, or that you're going to have an exit, or that you're going to get away from it. No, you probably will have to bear it. But the escape is in the presence of an Almighty God. Amen. That's where we find our escape. Amen, is that we can get into God. Amen, we can get in the presence of God. That we can get along with God. That we can feel the presence of an Almighty God with us. That is our escape. Seems like sometimes when your trials are heavy on you, and you seem like you're overwhelmed, you go to church. And when you go into the house of the Lord, maybe you feel like, man, I don't even think I can get in. I feel so down. I'm so discouraged with my trial. But I find that sometimes if you just put that out of your mind for a little bit and begin to worship God and begin to let the Lord help you, amen, that you find all that suddenly, amen, you find yourself in the presence of God. And while you're there, you're not thinking about the trial. You're not worrying about tomorrow. You're not worrying about what the end result's going to be. But you have found your way of escape, and it is in the presence of God. And the strength that you gain in the presence of God is what allows you to be able to bear it. That's why you can bear it. That's what gives you the strength. Amen. When you're alone with God, amen, that is the escape, and He allows you to bear the trial. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to know there is a way out. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan says you're the only one. Satan says you're overwhelmed. Satan says there's no way out. But God says you're not the only one, that He's even been there before you. Right. Amen. And that the trial is not going to get bigger than you are. No. Hallelujah. And that He has already made a way of escape. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen. You know, the trial should not get the best of us.
No.
Don't let the trial get the best of you.
No.
Because like James says, count it all joy. God is working in your life.
Yes,
there is a bigger purpose. There's a bigger plan that God is trying to perform in your life right now.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
And God is working in your life today through these trials. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you will. Hallelujah. I'm glad to know, amen, that God has already been there before me. Hallelujah. That God has already been there before me. And He's made a way of escape. Book of James, what a wonderful book. If you read those first 12 verses, and you get down to verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Don't you know there's reward in the trial? Hallelujah. You know, you face it, you can put up with a lot if you know there's going to be a reward. You can put up with a grumpy, grouchy boss if you know on payday it's going to be worth it. Right? You can work with some of the most obnoxious people and put up with it because you know on payday it's going to be worth it. Reward sometimes makes the trial worthwhile, right? Well, let me tell you, that's what the Lord said. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Amen. Because there's going to be a reward for the one, amen, that is enduring his temptation. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can endure. That God has reward in the midst of the trial that you're in right now. Amen. Bow your head with us. Dear Lord Jesus, God, I thank you, Lord God. God, that you're mindful of us. You're mindful of where we're at today. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. God, that you're with us through the times of our trials. Lord, our trials, oh God, they may be, seem to be, Lord, God, brought on by the cares of life. But I know, Lord God, that you'll help us. Sometimes, Lord God, they're part of the divine plan of God. But Lord, I know that you're working in our life. And that you're with us, Lord. God, even sometimes seems like Satan comes against us. But Lord, I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, to know that you're with me in every trial. And that you are faithful. God, you're a faithful God, and I give you the glory today. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight in these altars. In Jesus' name. Amen. Church, let's come to the altar tonight. Amen. Let God help us in our time of trial.